at this point, if Mr. Whitfield would like to speak again, but so if Mr. Stewart, you were signed up to speak on both also.
So no, thank you.
You're okay. Mr. Whitfield, you can come back and have three more minutes.
And I apologize for not understanding.
What's three more minutes? Not a problem, sir.
So one of the challenges for Northern Virginia has been that these require legislative changes. The Commonwealth Transportation Board has about 16 or 18 members. And presently there are two urban members and two rural members, but no members representing the suburban jurisdiction. Mary Hines claims that she can represent the suburban jurisdictions, but I would argue in light of the funding on the smart scale that happened in 2019, that the urban areas have taken a dominance based on criteria that don't apply to the majority of us who live outside the Capitol Beltway. So there are, 220,000 people in Arlington and maybe 180,000 in Alexandria. So it's somewhere over 400,000. There are over 2 million suburban residents in Northern Virginia, in Fairfax, Loudoun, Prince William, Stafford, Fauquier, and the independent cities of Manassas and Manassas Park and Fairfax City and Falls Church. Don't know if I missed any. My point is, I wrote to Chairman Jeff McKay yesterday, I don't recall the last time a member of Fairfax County was a member of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. I've been involved in studying transportation for 15 years. Something's wrong with that picture. I similarly am very concerned that the Metro, the WMATA board, has two members. The chair is from Alexandria and the Northern Virginia appointee is from Arlington. No representation from outside the Beltway. So it is up to us to ask the General Assembly to do something about this imbalance. A lot of the discussion in recent weeks has been about equity. Well, to me, equity would require that the Dulles Rail Project be mainly funded by the Commonwealth rather than the tax that the toll road users who use their after-tax funds on the Dulles Toll Road. So by contrast, we've had this $500 million or so transit funding approved for Amazon HQ2, whose chairman doesn't pay federal taxes. By contrast, many of the people who use the toll road are moderate income people, and yet the tolls are disproportionately high, far higher than they are in Norfolk, where Governor McAuliffe took actions to reduce the tolls for moderate income people. No such action has been taken by VDOT in Northern Virginia. So I can go on and on. I did send some of these issues to Chairman McKay yesterday, but I guess what I'm saying is we've got a lot of work to do to convince the General Assembly that it's time for equitable treatment of all the jurisdictions of Northern Virginia. So I will get into that at a later date. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That ends our public comment section of our meeting. Ms. Backman, if you want to.
Sure.
So while Margaret is gearing up, I did want to speak to your 2019 annual report. For those of you who were in attendance at the December meeting, you saw the video version of the annual report. Well, that was really part one. This year we did a three-segment version of our annual report, and it was to highlight the accomplishments, milestones, things of that nature that we have for 2019. So again, you can find this on our website. It is on the website. To save costs, we did not printed the entire annual report, but you do have this nice fold out that I'll speak to a little later.
Let me say, this is the cheesiest picture I've ever seen.
We thought you all looked nice.
Thumbs up.
She was so happy. Jeff, it's all you now.
And there are some on the side table here for those of you who are in the audience. But again, we wanted to say a big thank you to all of our member localities and agencies for the photos that were received. Again, you have the picture, and that's something we do at every annual report. We do remind you of Picture Day and to dress up when we have Picture Day. Next slide. So this report goes through the authority structure, the membership composition, and really getting to the planning and prioritization duties of the authority. And as we've discussed here tonight, as part of the listening session, we do develop and update the region's long-range transportation plan. And prior to HB 2313, that was really all we did, in addition to making recommendations on CMAQ and RSTP funding. But with the passage of HB 2313, we were in a position to prioritize and fund regional transportation projects. So in June of 2018, the authority did adopt its inaugural six-year program. What you'll see in the annual report is a detailed list of the 94 projects that the authority that you're advancing to date. The projects are multimodal in nature. They total nearly $2 billion, and they're across the region, of course, traversing seven different modes. The map. Now, I will say, I'll pick on Ellen. One of the things we did and we do this with every annual report, you will see this in here, is have a map showing the projects that we are advancing. You can't see all of the projects, but we do have it in detail in your handout. This is the first time that we've mapped all of the projects that the authority has funded to date in your four funding programs. So starting with FY 2014 to FY 2023, we have a map of all of those projects. If you look at the key on the map, it shows the primary modal component of the project. But I do want to note that primary modal component does not mean singular mode, because most of the projects that we advance are multimodal in nature. They have various modal components. And I know you can read this. We're going to be a quiz on it earlier, but later. But this is the chart that corresponds with the map showing all of the projects to date, all 94 projects. Next slide. And again, the key with the mode. So, as we do with every annual report, we have a letter from the chairman. Chairman Noe's letter is a retrospective letter of discussing his past 11 years as chairman of the authority. Now, for those of you who were at the December event, you've probably heard most of this. For those of you who were not, feel free to read it. Then there's a letter from myself. We can keep it moving. Next slide. Regional collaboration. One of the things that makes the authority successful is the regional collaboration. If you look at this chart, you'll see us at the authority meetings. You'll see us at the regional investment conversations, which was a newly initiated group where some of the investment and debt managers in all of the localities get together and talk about investments and debts and things of that nature. If you are a finance person, you probably love it. If not, maybe not. We also have a picture from the joint spring public transportation meeting. Delegate LaRocqueville a year or so ago required that the authority, MBTC, the CTB, VRE, VDOT, that we have this joint public meeting. So picture number 5 is a picture from that meeting. Then picture number 6. Years ago, the public information officers throughout the region would get together on a quarterly basis to talk about public information, what's best practices, and things of that nature. We did reinstitute that group. Then innovation in transportation. The authority, one of the things you did, you had your fourth annual intelligent transportation system, ITS roundtable, as we call it. We are actually planning for the fifth annual. I will note that the fourth annual conference that we had was sold out, so get your tickets early when they open, because we don't want to violate fire marshal occupancy requirements. We also have the Transportation Technology Committee. This was a new committee that met throughout the year looking at some of the transportation technology trends that we should be considering, not only when we're doing our long-range planning and programming, when we're doing our funding, but also talking about other needs. We at the authority, we understand we cannot fund everything, but some of this is informational, really, for some of the localities, agencies, private sector, regarding what they can take on. Lastly, I wanted to speak to the authority's partnership with the Commonwealth on the Regional Multimodal Mobility Program. If you can recall, the authority submitted a smart scale application, was funded through the Innovation and Transportation Technology Fund for $15 million, looking at some of the options that we can undertake to incentivize people to change their travel behavior. Next slide. I won't get into this, but we had various events throughout Northern Virginia, reaching target audiences and things of that nature. Next slide. We did celebrate certain milestones. We started the year with the groundbreaking for the OmniRide Western Maintenance Facility. And regarding celebrations, next slide, we closed the year with the Potomac Yards groundbreaking celebration. This is a lot of words on this slide, but essentially, looking ahead, as you all know, we are in the process of updating our inaugural six-year program. The six-year program was adopted in June of 2018. We are in the process of updating that. We're covering fiscal years 20 to 2025. As a reminder, we are evaluating 41 projects totaling $1.44 billion. We don't have $1.44 billion, but that's okay. We are also in the process of updating transactions, and we're going to have a public dashboard for the public to easily click and interface to see the status of these various projects that the authority is advancing. And lastly, as I stated, we're going to host the fifth annual ITS roundtable. The thank you. I could stand here all night talking about the thank you, but again, thank you to everyone who made this a successful year for the authority and some of the things that we were able to accomplish. As I started it out, we had a video segment, we had this PDF segment, and then there's the nice foldout that we hope you carry on your person when talking to and about the authority. The thing I wanted to mention most about the handout is the map, because that really shows the heart of the authority's work, and it gets to how we're doing our part and achieving our charter at reducing congestion, which really does impact the quality of life. And this is probably the chart that corresponds with the map. You can probably read it a little better having it on hand. So I do want to thank you, members. This is always great for us, because sometimes you forget what you accomplish when you're doing so much. So this was a great look back and a good year. Thank you, Chair Randall.
So when I talk about staff, all those projects, I say about the time, elected officials get to cut ribbon, they get to shovel dirt, and we, of course, vote on things, but the staff does so much work. When you look at that number of projects that have been completed since 2014, it is incredibly impressive. It's also multi-jurisdictional, and that is so important for what we're doing, because, you know, NVDA does not do neighborhood projects, they do projects that are important for the entire jurisdiction. And they do congestion relief relative to cost. First thing I heard was that. So I've got some of these things down. Ms. Bonner, Ms. Becker, do you have anything else you want to do before I go to the consent agenda?
I do just want to note the strategic plan update is in your packet. So you adopted your five-year strategic plan in November of 2017. As part of that, we were to do annual check-ins on how we're meeting the goals of the strategic plan. There's no need for me to walk through each and every one of them, but if you do have any questions, please feel free to answer. I will note some of the areas where it says no action, these items are actually going to be undertaken as part of the transaction update.
Thank you. I'm going to read the consent agenda now. The consent agenda is as follows. Approval of standard projects for Fairfax County Regional Funding 2018-00-009-2 Frontier Drive Extension Intersection Improvements. approval of standard project agreement for Fairfax County Regional Funding 2018-0-6-2, Group 1 Whitening Route Front-End for Merle Highway to Napier Road. And then number 8 is approval of standard project agreement for Fairfax County Regional Funding 2018-014-2, Rolling Road Whitening. What's your name? Rolling Road Writing, Oak Hill Mill Road to Franconia Springfield. You have a motion for approval of this consent agenda?
Second.
I'm going to give that motion to Mr. McKay, because these are pretty much all. Sure, thanks.
He really wants to get all that money at first meeting.
Sure, you should share.
It's kind of early, just for that.
And we're not even finished with Fairfax stuff yet, so we can say. I'd like to second Mr. Parrish. Discussion on the motion? Mr. McKay.
Ms. Randall, just briefly, it's Napa Road.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just Napier, because it says Napier on there, but it's actually Napa Road, so I just want to make sure that that's.
Okay. All right. Do you have a discussion? Do you have a Napa Road, the Napier Road, Fairfax?
I'm aware of it. We just renamed it, so.
All the papers would say aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry. Mr. McKay, the only action item we have tonight is the 66 outside the Beltway concessionaire fund, which, believe it or not, I get called about a lot. People get called about a lot. Anything that's outside the Beltway, we all get called about a lot. Because these are funds being moved from one place to another place within Fairfax County, which is we very rarely have any objections if the county wants to move funds from one project to another within the county. So, Mr. McKay, I will leave it to you to make the motion, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move approval of the recommendation to reallocate Transform 66 by the Beltway concession for these monies for Fairfax County.
I will second that. Discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion will pass unanimously. I just made an update. Then I'll come to the table. So the General Assembly went to session.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. And we have a lot of things that NBCA is going on. But let me say before we start, the last thing we did, according to the last session, was Loudoun County had put on our legislative items as our first transportation item to restore NBTA funds. And I asked all authority members to either put that in your legislative items. If you didn't make it the first thing, make it the first thing. Because it was such an important item. And from what I understand, is all authority jurisdictions, including all of our towns, they put that in their legislative items. And so I know that there are already a couple of bills that dropped on that. There's been some discussion on the government's budget last night, and that and some other NBTA specific items. And so, Ms. Randall, I'm going to turn over to you.
Good evening, members of the chamber of the authority. I'm Tracy Baynard. I'm your government liaison. Yes, we have a General Assembly session. We're in day 2. Only 58 more days till sign to die. there are a lot of bills still to come in. Yesterday was the deadline for pre-filed bills. There is a record pace of bills coming in, and they have until next Friday for additional bills. We could be looking at 3,800 to 4,000 pieces of legislation to deal with in 60, now 58 days. The good news is Northern Virginians are serving on some very powerful committees and very important committees for the authority, whether it's Senate Transportation, which is chaired by Dave Marsden, and Senators Favola, Boisco, Evans, Servo, and Pike. The Senate Finance and Appropriations Committee, they have a new name, as chaired by Janet Howe, with Senators Saslaw, Barker, Peterson, Marsden, and Evans serving on it. House Appropriations features Chair Luke Torian and Vice Chair Mark Sickles, along with Delegates Plum, Bulova, Krizik, and Reed. House Transportation features Vice Chair Kathleen Murphy, along with Delegates Watts, Delaney, Carter, Reed, Rome, Helmer, and LaRocque. And finally, House Finance features Chair Vivian Watts, Vice Chair Mark Keene, and Delegates Corey, Sullivan, Murphy, Ayala, Carter, and Carol Foy. So we have a lot of friends who are sitting on key committees for the authority. As I said, there are a number of transportation bills, not all of them, that have been introduced, but I am going to focus On two that have to deal with what is the number one priority for the authority, which is one, to secure $102 million of funds to replace what was transferred to the Rwanda Capital Fund, and in that securing $102 million have as much as can be being from state sources and not just additional taxes on the region. That is a discussion this body has had a couple of different times and has embraced that overall concept. Just to remind everyone, the authority did secure $20 million of statewide funding as part of the I-81 initiative. That is phased in over 3 years, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to talk about, a great observation is during the campaign season, everyone running for the General Assembly from Northern Virginia spoke to the need to restore funding for the authority. And I think that sort of explains why we're seeing some of the bills we are. I expect to see more bills. We have two. Delegate Vivian Watts has a bill in, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. The governor's omnibus bill for transportation, which has like 15 different things in it, also contains the governor's already stated $45 million plan for the authority. Senator George Barker is also putting together some concepts that he wants to bring forward to also address our funding need. House Bill 729 is the bill from Delegate Vivian Watts. Her goal is to secure $102 million, and she is looking for all of the stakeholders' input and comments on her bill to make sure it secures that. As the bill is currently written, it doesn't get to that number. What she is proposing is to increase the grantor's tax in the Metro Compact jurisdictions by 5 cents. So that brings it to a total grantor's tax of 20 cents per hundred. 50% of that revenue would go to the authority. 50% of that revenue would go to the WMATA Capital Fund. The 15-cent grantor's tax that is currently imposed in Prince William County, Manassas, and Manassas Park would stay at 15 cents, but she would have one-third of those revenues would go back to the locality to be used for transportation purposes. Two-thirds of those revenues would come to the authority. The bill would increase the transit occupancy tax, TOT, by 1%. It would be then 3% in the Metro Compact localities, and that revenue would go to the Metro Capital Fund. So that's that bill. House Bill 1414 is the administration's omnibus bill. Speaker Eileen Filicorn is the chief patron of this bill. This is going to change a lot. There was a briefing to the House Appropriations Committee this afternoon where they noted that they are still working on these concepts, so this is going to change. But currently, as written, to get to the $45 million for us, the bill takes the regional transportation fee, which we all know as our regional grantor's tax, reduces that from 15 cents to 10 cents. The revenue from that, from the WMATA compact localities, would go to the WMATA Capital Fund. The revenue from that for Prince William County, Manassas Park, will be retained by the locality to be used for transportation purposes. There is a brand new regional congestion relief fee created. It is a 15 cents grantor's tax. It is to be imposed in any county and city within a planning district that meets certain criteria, Northern Virginia, based on population, number of registered vehicles, total transit ridership. For Planning District 8, which is us, those funds are going to be distributed to the authority. The transportation district TOT is increased by 1% again, from 2 to 3. For Metro Compact jurisdictions, that increase would be deposited into the WMATA Capital Fund. Again, we've all just seen this bill. It's very convoluted. I have to read this 3 or 4 times to make sure I understand what they're doing. I don't know that this is going to survive just the way it is, because it is very convoluted. We don't have yet the numbers to confirm. Are we keeping the same level of funding for the WMATA Fund? I'll stop there and add. I may have confused everyone, I'm sorry.
Yes, Ms. Crystal. Because actually, Ms. Crystal, it's good that you go first, because I think the chair and the vice chair right now are so...
So let me just try to ask this question, because we've been trying to details of these two proposals as well, trying to understand whether it's Bakersville and Delegate Watsonville or contagious.
No.
Do you have a sense of the intent here? It looks, I mean, based on the pieces, that it seems like it's sort of an effort to effectuate the Sullivan-Sadler governance proposal from back in 2018. Is that your sense of what they're trying to do?
Yes. So the Watsonville and the Speakersville are not connected.
Okay.
They've come independently.
Okay.
They are a variation on what Governor Northam proposed April 2018 for the veto session.
Right.
So they play with the same revenue sources, but in very different ways, as you can tell.
But are they trying to get to the same outcome that
was
getting to, which was Metro Capital and the NVTA
right.
more or less whole,
right.
although some...
Yes. So both mean to hold the Metro Capital Fund whole.
But not add to it.
But not add to it per se. Now, it may... happen that way.
Okay.
In fact, I've seen a summary of the administration's bill, which I'm trying to vet it, and it actually shows a slight bump up for the Metro Capital Fund, but all these numbers really need to be run a couple different times to make sure people are comfortable with them. Delegate Watts's goal is to get us eventually to 102.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not diminishing money going to the WMATA Capital Fund. So there's no interest in harming the Metro Capital Fund. That is to be held harmless. But they're struggling with finding a way to address the funding for the authority. Is that helpful?
That is really helpful.
Yeah. So
we know what they may be done. We're trying to figure out what they're trying to do.
Yes, yeah. So there's goals, and then what actually is in the bills, and...
And hopefully the latter will change.
And yes, they're complicated. At this point, they're complicated. I need to say that. And they're still briefing both legislators and stakeholders. I mean, the governor's bill, there's a lot of things in that we did not know were coming. And so we're still trying to get our arms around what it is.
Mr. Baird.
Thank you. For those of you who were here last time, of course, remember some of the conversations that took place. And I think this falls under the guise of you have to watch what you ask for. And we have all asked to try to put the revenue sources for the MBTA back in the hands of the MBTA. And I'm supportive of that. But the assumption, at least the assumption that I had, was that sometimes things happen in Richmond that are a little different than you might think. And what concerns me, and concerned me a month ago when we met, and continues to concern me, maybe even more now, that I hear the results of some of the pre-filed bills. I would hope that WMATA money would remain consistent, because we need to support that based upon the support of the other communities that are involved, i.e. Maryland and Washington. But how do you... without substantial state money, how do you get back the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority without raising taxes again substantially? And of course, we've asked for the revenue. What I'm afraid that they're going to do is not put state money in it in a substantial way, and that's the concern. And if they just raise taxes, then Northern Virginians are going to continue to pay more and more and more.
So this is what anybody else wants to talk about?
Yes, Ms. Richard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So of the increases that we see for the Speaker's bill, do they achieve the 102?
No. The governor stated in his budget announcement that his goal was to add another $45 million. And that joined with the $20 million from the I-81 would be a total of $65 million restored back to the authority. So the governor has not stated the goal of getting us to 102.
The governor has not.
No.
Thank you.
Does the Barker bill have state money?
Senator Barker does not have a bill yet. It is unclear to me at this time if it will be completely a bill or a budget amendment or a combination of both. His goal is 102. That much.
Would that include state money?
Yes. Yes, I think he would like to see a bigger state role in dealing with this issue.
So this is what I'm really going to miss, Ms. Bulova, who did a good job of pulling me off the ceiling. right now. What we're basically doing is saying, Northern Virginia, you're going to tax yourself again into a mass money again in NVCA with no guarantee that they will not come and basically take it again. Listen, we all went through this last year. We were, the money to Metro is going to Metro. It is now a dedicated source of bondable revenue to Metro, and no one wants to disturb that. But the idea that we would go back into having a higher renter's tax or higher DOT tax on Northern Virginia jurisdictions to put back into MBTA, one is, I believe, offensive to start with. The idea that we would do that with no guarantee in writing, in some bill, that there will be no more rating or whatever words you want to use of MBTA money would be completely unacceptable. Because, I mean, we thought this could happen one time. We had no idea what's going to happen to the level that it did, that they took two of our funding sources away. And for us to build it all back up again on the backs of Northern Virginia taxpayers without having some guarantee that this would not happen again, I got to tell you, that's not something that I could support. I don't know if I'm speaking for anybody else here, but that would be very disturbing. And let me say this one more time. If the Commonwealth of Virginia believes that Northern Virginia is the economic engine for the Commonwealth and Metro is needed for that engine to run, then the Commonwealth of Virginia should be doing more toward Metro, or at least not doing something to hurt MBTA after we gave all of our money to Metro. This is unacceptable. Anybody square?
Total agreement.
Love that.
Well, so if I may, I'm certainly not going to defend a bill I don't understand. The only thing I would just suggest is that, as you recall, the grantor's tax and the TOT, as were proposed in 2018, were not increased in 2018. And instead, at the last minute, rather than those two funding sources, that in fact our Northern Virginia Chamber of Commerce really took a hit and got behind, that those were rejected and in favor of NVCA money was stripped. So I think my big takeaway that I really am interested in, I think agree with you, Chair Randall, is some guarantee that if we are now accepting of that TOT and grantor's tax being increased, then there needs to be an assurance that that is a dedicated revenue source to the authority, and the authority is not. I'm very supportive of that.
Yeah.
I suppose I am not quite willing to dismiss out of hand the idea that some part of the solution to make us whole would be those two revenue sources that I did support for Metro in 2018. And again, our partners in the chamber and we as a region supported. So I think it's not different than what you're saying, but it's maybe sort of a nuance.
Not dismissed. I haven't dismissed it, but I would dismiss it unless if someone
else
is thinking it. Absolutely.
I respect that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate the conversation. Well, I'm not going to get you down from the ceiling because I'm enjoying it. Sound like me sometimes. I will say that, if we learned anything from the last, when the money was taken, is that things in Richmond may change really quickly, including entire sections of hurdles. And so I think one thing we should be happy about is that there are multiple options and opportunities on the table to address this issue, and not just one bill that we're working on. Because at the end of the day, people will need to come together behind something. And the fact that we have this many legislators working on solutions, albeit some largely imperfect solutions, I think is a positive for us, because the attention is there to fix this. I will say that some of these legislators have been saying for a long time what they wanted to do is get back to where we were before, for better or worse, as a starting point. Others have said we need to do a lot better than that. I think in conversations with Senator Barker in particular, I'm in agreement that I think there will be a state money piece in his as an option on the table. And so I think this is one of these times where it's important for us to continue to be diligent about wanting to get the money back and not prescribing exactly the way in which we do that, and being open to conversation. But I think we can all individually be talking to our legislators about there better be some state money in this. And if there is additional money coming out of taxpayers from Northern Virginia, is there a way to get the guarantee that we talked about. So I think the issues we have here are ones we need to convey early on to them, now having seen and heard briefly what these bills do. But I think we don't want to be, we want to be angry over some of the solutions, but I just don't want us to be angry over the fact that we've got a lot of legislators trying to fix this problem and understand that what comes out of Richmond could be very different than what has been pre-filed and what will be debated, and that's what the process will allow us to do. I know our board will meet every single Friday when we're in session to review these bills and changes to them and take positions on them and reiterate those positions. And so this is so important. I would hope all of our jurisdictions would be closely monitoring these and weighing in with their legislators on the things we've talked about here.
So let's say if we, I'm sorry, just Mr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I would largely echo Chairman McKay, I think, as well as Board Member Crystal. I think they're on the right track. I think it's a, I completely understand where you're coming from, Madam Chairman. I think the key here is just endorsing a set of principles, endorsing parameters around where we end up, but appreciating that everyone's trying to solve this. I also think that all local revenue are not created equal, too. So to the extent, I think while I share the concern about this becoming a completely locally funded solution, and I think there has to be state money in the game, I do differentiate around some of the local revenue that's being talked about here. So I look at that very, very differently than I do a renter tax. I know that in the speaker's bill, there's both of those talked about. So I think the you know, we should, Chairman McKay is absolutely right. This stuff's going to change really, really fast. And, you know, we do the same thing. We'll be meeting every Friday night from here on out, starting tomorrow. My wife's real thrilled about that and going through all this legislation. So we'll.
I guess my unrest is it did change last year often, and then time it changed.
Got worse.
Yeah,
a new day.
Yeah.
Mr. Madam Chair, I appreciate the conversation that's gone on, and I don't think that we're trying to tell them how to fix this, but I think it's entirely appropriate for us to make them aware of what our preferences are and are not, and what we feel is a sense of fairness in the process.
So let's say let's go with at the very basic where we agree on. I think I heard from everyone that we agree that there should be some state money on this. Any disagreement with that? Yes. And then we agree that there should be we strongly agree that there should be some language that the I heard the word stripping, taking of MBTA money would not
tampering
happen.
With.
Tampering with.
I'm
sconding.
And any new funding source would be protected.
I like absconding.
In reality, though, Madam Chairman, if you don't protect all of the revenue, whether it's new or it's old, you don't accomplish it.
Oh, no, That's right. Absolutely. So, at the very least, are those two things that we can trust Ms. Baker to put that language in?
Yes. I mean, the good thing is we don't have to commit to any plan at this point. The message that you all have articulated that I think really did get to the candidates who are running for General Assembly seats is it needs to come back. It needs to be 102. Preference for having a statewide funding source in that, and you know. Keep hitting on that, thanking people for putting bills in and being committed to it. But I think they need to hear from you all collectively that, yes, this is an important issue to get done, but it's got to get done in the right way. We're here to help you vet numbers and ideas, but do understand we have some principles that are going to guide our responses to what your proposals are. And at this point, we're not committing to anything because there are bits and pieces that still need to be worked out, if that makes sense.
No, we're definitely not committed to anything. But I do think that the two things that were just said here are things that people need to, I'd like for our delegations to understand that we are committed to having some state funds in there, and we are committed to protecting for money so this doesn't happen again.
So what is our process with the authority going forward? I think these general comments and concepts are great, but we're going to very quickly get into the weeds and we need to work out amongst
yep.
ourselves
yep.
what is the best approach here. So what sort of process can we put in place for doing that? And I'm very happy that although we're a small jurisdiction, I'm very happy that Senator Sasslaw is our senator. So, and I'm very pleased with the positioning of Northern Virginia folks in the General Assembly. So I think there's a real opportunity that we can't just be reactive, it seems to me.
Do you have any ideas on the process?
Well, again, I think because you all do talk every daily week with your delegation members, I think talking to them and picking up the phone and just saying, you understand there's going to be a lot of conversation around this issue. It's important to the authority. Here's what you need to be focused on. I wish we had specifics from George Barker so we could put that in the mix and kind of see what we wanted to do with that and how we might want to rank some of these solutions, how we want to pull the levers. Mike can run numbers on different levers about how much money is coming in so that you all would know if we did this, it would create that. If we did this, it would create this. So it's going to be one of those where we're going to really have to run the numbers for every proposal and weigh what our goals are versus what they're saying to us and figure out where to push and where to accept.
At what point in the process last time did we send the joint letter out from all the jurisdictions?
In 2018?
Mm-hmm.
We did it when the bills were in conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's when we had specifics, and then we did it again when the governor committed to sending down his amendments for the veto session.
Okay. Okay. Right.
So those were the two bites at the apple for
right.
restoring some of the money that point. I would let you all know that you probably all know that our General Assembly delegation meets every Monday at 5. And once again, the authority is on the agenda for a meeting. It's the January 27th meeting. It's actually the transportation meeting for the delegation. Secretary Valentine, General Manager Wiederfeld, and Chair Randall are on the agenda. So it'll be.
Calmer, Chair Randall, than we're here today.
So one of many opportunities that we'll have to be in Richmond to talk to our legislators about the status of funding for the authority.
Tracy, does the omnibus bill have clues about other routes that they're trying to bridge to transportation?
It really has everything in it. Uh-huh. It has the gas tax increase. It has the reduction in inspection fees. It has the reprogramming and kind of tweaking the funds for transportation. It creates the rail passenger rail authority. It has a lot. It has bonding requests for 81 and quarter Q, I think it is.
But the main statewide increase.
It's the gas tax. There's also an alternative fuel vehicle fee of some sort, but I'm still trying to figure out what it's doing. So that's in there too, but that's all part of the statewide. So there's some opportunity to maybe capture some of that. There's a bill actually also that Delegate Watts has put in to close a tax loophole for third-party platforms, kind of the Airbnb thing, which may become a source of additional state revenue. Might be an opportunity to capture some of that. I don't know. Anyway, but so there's a lot of things that are still coming, and I like there's a lot of things that are still in, they're being discussed. Unfortunately, I wish I could be clear about it, but they're still very fuzzy at this point.
So, Chairman, I have one comment to offer to my fellow conferees here who do all the lobbying, because I don't. It's that, say you want some state money,
yeah.
is awfully darn vague. Could be as little as $5 million.
Sure.
And so I would really encourage people to think about how much is enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the number you necessarily want to be out there with, but I felt like we lost a little because we didn't have a baseline don't go below this in the last go round. They went way lower than anybody thought they were going to go. So I just think on this side you ought to spend a little bit of time thinking
Although,
about
I agree with you totally. I thought, if you remember on that day at 3 o'clock, it wasn't going to happen.
It did.
And at 7 o'clock, it did.
I know. I'm a joke. But anyway, I just, that would be my one piece of advice.
Yep.
You know, is it 30? Is it 15?
Yep.
Yeah. What is the number?
So, Tyler, was that what you're trying to say? They have some specifics. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
I think you're correct. And I think this would be a discussion we'd have when we get more.
Yeah. I mean, we could say if 102 is the number, what percentage of that do we want to be state funds?
At a minimum,
right. Is it 50? Is it 60? Is it 100?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I have right now. We'll be we'll do some bill tracking for you all to keep you apprised of other bills that are coming in. There's a little bit of everything on transportation. We have another bill, again, from Senator Peterson related to specifically putting sidewalks in the authority's code section to identify them as an appropriate use of authority funds, which we can already do. The challenge we have is the way the bill is written for the 70%, it could be read as if sidewalks are not subject to the A, having to be in transaction, and B, having to go through the congestion relative to cost analysis. Senator Peterson has always been very open to working with us to deal with these concerns that we always have. We've opposed the bill, so I will be talking with him next week on it. Just FYI.
Just a quick, you mentioned I-81 bonding. Did they establish a new revenue stream for that, since the old 81 funding is not bondable?
They also got a 2.1% gas tax in their quarter, as we have here for region, and that would be the, I remember that's the debt service.
Revenue stream.
That's the revenue stream for debt service, yeah.
What I think I just heard, a lot of jurisdictions have their legislative conference calls or meetings on Friday. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We do too. We have our call on Friday. So there may be some, at least on Fridays, because that's what we do. We kind of get out of town because that's what
right. And I will say, just to let you all know, your staff that are in Richmond, we had a stakeholders meeting with Delegate Watts so she could walk us through her bill, and it was both business and local government and stakeholder agencies like VRE and NBTC and us. So there's a real regional vibe going on among the liaisons who are in Richmond to keep each other apprised of what's going on with this kind of issue, and so we could all speak with a single voice. So I did want to let you know about your staff have been on top of this, and we're all, you know, we are talking to each other all the time, and what are you hearing, and who have you talked to, and you know, and they're also sharing what you all talk about to them. So again, so we could be consistent in our message. They all knew I was coming up here today, so they were, let's say, okay, let them know what we know, which is unfortunately not as much as I would like.
You know, I hesitate to comment on some things I'm not very knowledgeable about it, so I don't usually do that. But it does sound like they're not restoring the funds, they're just finding new ways to tax it out of us. So that's different than bringing them back or restoring them. That's completely different. Just from a
You're not wrong. It's exactly what we're seeing so far, anyway.
So our next meeting is after crossover, the next authority meeting.
It'll be communication from me to you guys.
In the interim, I know, but the next time, we can only act here. Is that the way the practice of the authority has been?
So
if we need to send a letter or respond, is the practice been that we have to do that at an NBTA meeting?
So what you've done is delegated the chair responsibility for speaking on behalf of the authority. That's what has happened in the past, particularly when the authority meeting schedule doesn't align with what's going on in Richmond.
But when in the past, when the letter came out last time, and it was between meetings, isn't that time enough every authority member to look over, making some changes, and there were some changes made, and send it as one voice or one body. And so I'm a little more hot right now than I would be the General Assembly. And I would never send a letter out that I did not pass by the full authority before. And I would never speak on behalf of authority without the authority.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I was asking it to make sure that you had that authority and you didn't, that we granted it. I mean, I think this is one of those we want to be hot on, but it's also one that we don't want to send a false signal.
that a resistance to raising some of these revenues is an excuse for them to not go to the 102 level. Well, or to not go to 102. Because anything short of that is unacceptable. We were talking about the principles. I mean, to me, anything less than that is unacceptable. That doesn't even get us back to where we were before, not even talking about where the revenue came from. We're not even back to the dollar amount we were at before, and I just don't want to give them an excuse to whittle the dollar amount down based on hearing complaints about the revenue sources. We have to stick to our principles and make sure that we weigh in, but I don't want anyone down there thinking we're sitting here talking about we would accept less than 102, because that's never where we've been, and to not have that be misconstrued.
If I may, Madam Chair, I think to that point, actually, I think Ms. Boehner was proposing to make a recommendation on the specifics of the amounts from the state as sometimes recommended we do. Perhaps percentages really are.
Okay. So 50, 60, we can definitely think about it and come back to me, but.
I'd love to stay on. And I think
I know exactly.
I think we need a rationale, right? And so we're going to take the rationale out of this funding and apply it to the WMATA funding, which is they got half the voting rights. So why not say 50% of that new money is?
Oh, the state got half.
That the state, because they have half the voting, because. You know, I mean, let's remind them that this argument is really not only about what the authority is doing, it's about the state's commitment to the metro. And if we look at that 102 and say, you know, half of that really should have been state money last time, which that's my personal view.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the number we should go for. If you should be a funding partner here, because you weren't there. No, I mean, you should fund, and I don't know about the puts and takes of the various kinds of money. I don't know if they could swap the money out. It all depends on this issue of is it bondable or not. But that's the argument that I would be making. I think when we divorce ourselves from Metro in this conversation, we, to the rest of the state, we look a little greedy. But when we put Metro back into the picture, it's a different presentation about what's going on. Just because VRE connects to Metro, because the Long Bridge connects. I mean, all of these things are starting to make more sense as a network to the rest of the state, at least in my experience. But they still look at NBTA and say, you guys have all that privilege. Because that's what the bucket of money looks like to them, is
privilege,
not that our folks have generated.
I think I hesitated on the percentage because I don't want to be negotiating against ourselves. I want to know what they're coming up with. I don't want to say 50 and then Mr. Rockwell was talking about 70. Right. That's why hesitation. 50 would be the bare minimum, but that's why I hesitated to give a percentage number.
My advice is you need to have a base that you will not be.
Yeah, we have that also. How am I doing? Okay, so maybe on at least by Monday you can get back to some of your assistance because we would have talked to people and we would have found something by then.
Okay. I'm hoping Tuesday to have, I'm hoping in the next couple of days of next week, there'll be some more clarity about where people are going on some of these bills. Hopefully Senator Barker will be closer to figuring out how he exactly wants to do this, and we'll be feeding that back up to everybody. So again, it becomes part of the mix of we decide we want this, we want this, we don't want that, and
Senator
put it together so that
we're talking about the state money?
Publicly, yes. Publicly-ish, yes.
Yeah, we definitely didn't
know
what he's doing.
So, and I think it is important for the other delegation members to hear that public money, state money, excuse me, is an important part of the final solution for us.
Okay.
All
right. I just have a question. So then when we make contact with our state representatives, we're not to mention percentages?
I think maybe not yet, so we know what Barker's been. And I don't think, is it going to take a long time when nobody's doing it?
It won't be a long time, it's not today.
You know, what he's conveyed to us is keep our powder dry.
Yeah, exactly. He wants the authority to be as flexible as possible so that when he drops something, if we choose to, we can be able to embrace it and not. Yeah, so
right,
it's a strategy for him.
That sounds okay.
Thank you.
Well, then I guess the answer is no. Right.
Madam Chair, that sounds like the right approach for me. I do appreciate the fact that Mary talked about a percentage and related it directly to something that made sense and sort of makes sense to us. I wonder how much of this conversation makes sense to some for the delegation, but nevertheless, that's another issue. But let me also add, Jeff, I very much appreciate the fact that you supported, and I think we all should, continuing the chair's ability to communicate along with staff and their own jurisdictions, of course, but with regard to MBTA, the chair's continuing ability to communicate on behalf of the MBTA.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Just regarding from my ED report, but what's not listed in the report, I do have two items, I should say. The Planning Coordination Advisory Committee, I know that some of the localities have made appointments to the PCAC. You should all be receiving a letter, hard copy and electronic copy regarding an appointment to the Planning Coordination Advisory Committee. As a reminder, the PCAC is a 14-member committee that's inclusive of the five cities and four counties, and then the five towns with a population of 3,500 or more, the elected officials, but who do not serve on the authority. We are trying to have this body meet next month, towards the end of the month, in addition to the Technical Advisory Committee. The PCAC and the TAC, as we refer to them, they are statutory committees, and since we're in the process of undertaking a funding program and the update to transaction, it's important to get this committee up and running again. We did not meet for a year or so because we adopted the last funding program in June of 2018. So we will be seeking appointments. The next thing I would like to say, we have an MBTA work session scheduled on January 22nd. It's scheduled from 8:30 to 11. Now, what that is, because I've received a few questions about it. Chair Randall, when she opened the meeting, mentioned that we have three members currently on the authority who were present and on the authority when HB 2313 was signed into law. So this is really a refresher. This is why it's a few hours. It's not an all-day thing, so we can walk through some of the elements of the planning, programming, and funding, and the legislative components that the authority adheres to. There are a lot of legislative items and bills that we must make sure that we're undertaking. So this is really to have a little work session and walk through that. Lastly, you do realize that our General Assembly members, we have three members of the General Assembly on the authority, two members from the House, one Senate member. We have been in contact with Speaker Filicorn, and the law regarding the Senate member says the Senate Chair on Rules makes the appointment, and that person, the Senate member, comes from Senate Transportation or a Senate Appropriation, and I think you said they renamed it
Finance and Appropriation.
From the House, it's a little different because under the current law, because there was a budget amendment last year, the House member does not have to be a member of the House, as was evidenced by Mr. Minshew's participation for 2019.
That's a new position. Right.
No. They changed the language that says he or she does not have to be a member.
Right.
So we had Delegate Hugo, and then we had Mr. Minshew. Technically, Delegate Hugo's term expires June 30th, but he did. Mr. Minshew's term expires June 30th. However, Mr. Minshew did resign. We did get a letter from Delegate Hugo, an email thanking us for, you know, the work we do here at the authority. I say that to say we do expect that budget language that was added to allow someone who is not a member of the House, we do expect that to change. And again, the House member is appointed by the Speaker of the House, and they should be on House Transportation or House Appropriation.
Okay. Right. That's right. Yep. All right. The last thing we have is My first comment is don't take the food away. I'm not eating it. So please leave that food in here. This is me. My next comment is to assign the subcommittee. I haven't spoke to everybody yet, so I'm going to tell you what I have. If you do not want this appointment or you want something different, come tell me later. I think the first subcommittee meeting is the finance meeting. So if you have a schedule conflict or you have no interest, then email me and I will take you off and I will assign somebody else. But these are the committees as they would stand right now. The Governance and Personnel Committee, Chair Randall would be the chair. Ms. Crystal, Ms. Wheeler, Mr. McKay, Mr. Wilson of the Governance and Personnel Committee. Especially for this year, that was important to me because of what's happening. The PPC committee, Mr. Wilson, be the chair. Ms. Wheeler, Mr. Snyder, Ms. Hines, Mr. Meyer. And the finance committee, Mr. Parrish will be the chair. Mr. McCain, Ms. Crystal, Ms. Mitchell, Chair Rep. If you have any issues with those, any thoughts about those, let me know. Also, any member of the authority can attend any meeting at any time. You won't be a voting member, but you can always attend the meeting. And often, I think Ms. Bulova attended all the meetings every time, especially if it's going to be discussing something in your area.
Just like
you can come no matter what, and I would encourage you to come no matter what if you
choose. That was really nice.
Are all committees being membership in all committees being rolled over?
No. Are you on the same committee you're already on?
Well, finance, but I'm also on the planning and programming committee, or was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to be back on this?
Yes, please.
Then I have to take somebody else off. We'll talk later.
Okay. Can you email?
I will, of course. I'll send those out. Yeah, of course. Yes, of course I can. And if anyone else wants to be on finance, Ms. Randall does not have to be on finance. I'm fine with you. So let me know. Anything else for the good of the body? Yes. And you have the first meeting. You're meeting next week, right?
In fact, that's what I'm going to talk about right now. The Finance Committee will meet next Thursday at 1 p.m. here in these offices. I look forward to continuing that work. I look forward to continuing to work with all the members.
Yes.
Sorry, Sharon, I'll risk of prolonging this and sorry for your delicious message. But there was a question brought up as part of the public comment on transaction that I was really interested in, and
sure.
I'm not certain when transaction is going to next come to us. I wondered if staff could respond. My understanding is this is not currently the case, but wanted to confirm that. Whether an analysis of how different projects perform in terms of reducing greenhouse gases. That is not currently among our criteria.
Let me
defer to
Keith. 5%. I think so.
I have to go back to the presentation.
That's a 5%.
And I'm
hoping to pull it from the
presentation.
Later
meeting, I'm not sure when the transaction is
going
to
come up.
Yeah.
5%
is that right?
It's 10%.
Yeah. On
slide 7.
Put it up on page 7. Let's get the other one. 7 back.
The next slide. Okay.
Hold on. Explain the wrong direction.
Thank you.
If you look in the table, goal 3 only has one objective and measure. The objective here is to reduce transportation-related emissions, and we looked at that in the model by looking at vehicle miles traveled by speed. So that's probably the closest where we came to that, but that's certainly one of those areas which, I mean, nothing is locked down at this stage, just because this is what was done previously does not mean it will be what's done on the next cycle.
I think in the transaction 2040 plan, it was at a lower percentage, I believe.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. It might be worth just knowing, because it's been, now that your former baby is, you know, now a little on his way to school, I think it'd be interesting that we've gotten a lot more sophisticated in how we measure this, right? And so I think that was really a good measure at the time, vehicles miles traveled by speed, but we may be able to get a little more sophisticated. I, for one, am really interested in seeing us pursue that goal as a regional goal and with our individual jurisdiction. So perhaps when this next comes to us, it might be an opportunity to dig in a little bit about the best way.
Thank you for your question.
Chair, just one other comment. The College Transportation Planning Board is doing a lot of work on highway safety issues. We're constantly reminding each day about what's going on out there. Safety is one of the elements here. So along with greenhouse gas issues, I think safety is a fundamental challenge for all of us. So hopefully that work can tie into how we proceed on this plan. Also wanted to take the opportunity, there were thanks at the beginning to MBTA staff, entirely appropriate. But I wanted to add, and jurisdictional staff, but I wanted to add thanks to the Council of Councils back there in the first row there, who really got us through some really difficult days when the funding was granted and then pulled back. So I just wanted to recognize the work of the attorneys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. Everybody needs to read in. Clearly. Anything else? Good job. Welcome to the authority. We are adjourned.